We the Reefers is sponsored by T-Gram Tea, the prebiotic antibiotic solution for your reef microbiome. Combining the healing and preventative properties of Reflux ChemiClean, Pestle Ground Cheerio Powder, Organic Kale Flakes, and Microbacter 7, our mixture is processed through Keurig-grade machining mechanisms and aged for however long we think is okay before being sealed into our revolutionary tea bag delivery system. Each tea bag consists of aquarium-grade poly mesh and can be draped over the edge of the tank, allowing the current to naturally disperse the solution in the same amount of time it would take to brew yourself a steaming cup of herbal refreshment. Don't delay. Teabag your tank today. How's it going, Reef Keepers? It is a fine April Fool's Day, 2024. Hope all you are doing well. Hope your tanks are doing well. I said it on previous episodes, but I just want to recap. I'm now on basically everything. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, you know, Spotify, what have you. You can watch on YouTube, of course. I've got, you know, the tank display that you can enjoy in the background. Some of you expressed that you enjoy watching the reef tank, just, you know, having it on in the background. Despite whatever I might be saying, you just like having the reef tank up on your TV, and I'm flattered because, you know, there are a lot more impressive tanks out there in terms of coral and whatnot, but yeah, my tank, as you can see, I guess we do a little tank update this week, is doing pretty good. I managed to interestingly bottom out my nutrients completely in the last 24 hours, so I noticed that yesterday, after I had turned my reactor up that has phosphate-reducing media in it, that my Acropora frags, both of them were like, you know, not happy at all, which is not typical. Normally, I have good polyp extension. And so I first kind of blamed the Neptune Trident and was like, uh-oh, you know, it's due for servicing. It's been 5 years. You know, something must be off. And I tested everything, and I had just tested phosphate the day before, and it was at like 0.10. And I was like, all right, you know, probably time to crank up the reactor a little bit. The phosphate media is about at the end of its lifespan. And I cranked it up way too much because I tested phosphate again. And I tested it twice because the first test came back 0.00. And I was like, no way, I did something wrong. I tested again. It's like 0.01. So, yeah, the Acropora do not like swings like that. You got to really keep an eye on the phosphate reducing media. I use that Nios Phosiex that Reef Dork uses, and it seems to really do the job, you know, potentially to a point that you got to watch it. So yeah, things happen, right? All right, so the subject matter this week is, and I say this a lot, you guys probably get sick of me saying it, but it's subject matter that I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form. In fact, the whole, like, broad subject of this, I'm not even really 100% sure what it would be called. I'm going to refer to it as microbiome, right? Just kind of the microbiome of our reef tanks. But this is an area of the hobby that if you guys have listened to the podcast to date, a while back, someone had asked me in, you know, subscriber questions that I was answering, what do you think the next big thing is that people are going to be talking about in the reef keeping hobby? And I said, without hesitation, microbiome. Like, and that was a few weeks back, and conversations regarding reef tank microbiome, of course, have gone on forever, right? But it seems like really in like the last month, 2 months, whatever, the talks of this have really, really ramped up. I mean, really ramped up. It seems like, you know, everybody I follow, everyone visible to me, you know, different podcasts that I watch in the reefing hobby, everybody seems to be, you know, pretty hot to focus on this right now, right? So it seems like the pH revolution or the pH craze is, you know, while it's still critically important and people still want to talk about it, it's kind of, you know, simmering, so to speak, and the microbiome talks are really ramping up. And I think a big driver of this ramp up is Salem Clemens over at Reef Builder. So if you guys don't know, you know, if you if you follow the reefing hobby closely and you kind of, you know, ride the trends like I do, like whatever people are talking about, I just want to talk about it. I'm an average hobbyist. I am in no way, shape, or form some deep level expert on any of this stuff. And I don't understand half the things that Salem at Reef Builders says, but I sure as heck follow him and I try to squeeze in. He's producing so much content right now between like regular reef therapy, reef recap, all the little bits and pieces that he shares with people to the side, like beyond that. I mean, the guy is, you know, an insatiable knowledge point when it comes to all things reef microbiome. And in fact, and I should have looked it up before I started the podcast, but his degree, I believe he's finishing his graduate degree, and his degree is in this stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, really in this stuff. Like, this is everything that he's about. It's what he's gone to school for. So long story short, you know, I'll stop introducing who he is right now. We'll talk about him more throughout this podcast, but Salem is a guy who he's qualified to talk about this stuff, more than qualified, especially when compared to like the broader hobby and people who kind of bill themselves as reef scientists, like self-ordained reef scientists. This kid is far more qualified to talk about this kind of stuff than many of them are. People who rely purely on anecdotal evidence, right? This guy relies on data, hard data. And that's critically important because to me, that's something that the reef hobby is, people like that in the reef hobby are few and far between. People who are really drivers of it. And Salem's really, you know, whether he's tried to or not, is being positioned or already is positioned as a driver in the hobby, especially on the microbiome side, because of this data-driven approach. So I would definitely, you know, again, a lot of the stuff's over my head. I'm an educated guy in that, you know, I have a master's degree, but it's not in anything like this. So, I mean, it's like, half of the higher scientific terms he uses are like garble to me, but he does have a good way generally to break down or boil down way higher scientific concepts into a package that, so like he'll explain the deep science and you'll be like, what? And then he will boil it all down and give you like one or two sentences that relates it to the real world, to terms that the rest of us mortal people can understand. And you're like, oh, I got it. Okay, now I understand the broad strokes of that. So somebody to follow for sure, because the microbiome of our reef tanks and its impact, you know, on fish, but more especially on coral, is a critically important part of the hobby that I just think most people, like myself, by the way, have no real idea about. I mean, that stuff really seems like it, a lot of the deeper knowledge there seems like it belongs in the halls of higher ed, right? This is a higher academia thing. Let the, you know, marine biologists and microbial scientists of the world go figure that stuff out. And hopefully, like, some smart hobbyists at some point will boil it down into, like, practice that I can utilize, right? And I think right now, like, and it's changing. Like, we're in the middle of, like, at least among reef keepers. Let me step back. In this hobby, we might do a whole episode on this. There are different contingents of reef keepers. And you may or may not like think about this, that you see these different kinds of people at play in this hobby. But there are like whole vast, like little mini ecosystems of reef keepers that are like, they just fall into like a certain category of reef keeper, right? Like there's gearheads that are all, you know, totally obsessed with gear. Then there's fish people who like the coral is just a backdrop for them. Then there's coral people for whom the fish, like, that just completes the reef picture. They're really here for the coral. There's microbiome people. There's macroalgae people. There's, you know, and then there's even, like, almost, like, social categories, right? So, like, you know, there's a, and, like, I guess I do fall into this contingent, but, like, there's a contingent of reef keepers who are, like, who pay close attention to what goes on in the broader reefing industry, and look at it with a critical eye, and you know, don't want reefers to get screwed over. You know, like the common reefer. You know, I kind of fall into this. Like, I'm a gearhead, and I'm very interested in what's going on in this little niche industry. Like, I'm very aware of like what's happening in the industry. I follow all news on it, right? So there's people who do that. And then there's people who, they're very like in tune with the biological side of it. And they're like, you know, I mean, those are the people who own like their own microscope. Like, I don't have that. There's people who like own their own microscopes in their house and like look at their own like microbial samples that they take and stuff from their own tank. And they're doing like aquabiomics every other week. And, you know, I mean, like there's, there's a whole contingent that exists within that sphere. There's like, you know, I'm like, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings when I say this. I'm not, you know, necessarily putting a negative connotation on it. It's just like a kind of reefer, but there's like almost what I call like bro reefers who are like, you know, they're totally in it for like the visual aesthetic. Wow. Right. And so like their tanks are always like hardcore black light tanks. And those are the guys that kind of poke fun at when they're like, what's up, Reef Squad? Every video that they make, you know, like there's a whole contingent of those people in the hobby. Like there's so many different kinds of people in this hobby. And there's only certain, there are only certain contingents of all of these that even care about what people like Salem Clemens are trying to do and trying to push. By the way, not just about like what's going on right now, like with figures in the hobby that are trying to do this, but there's contingents of the hobby that like don't care at all and never will about microbiome in reef tanks, right? There's contingents of people who, and this is kind of part of this whole thing, is kind of for this contingent, part of this episode. There are also people who don't want to like watch and try to figure out on their own the deep science of it, right? So like, they're just like, look, listening to Salem on Reef Recap is too much for me. Like it's too, even when he boils it down, like I have to wait for the science part to get over before he boils it down for me. And I don't have the attention span or the, you know, give a darn to sit there and like listen to all that. But I do care about the reef tank microbiome because I know it's important. I just lack the ability to sit there and like try to wade through all that high terminology and stuff. So I'm just going to try to address the reef tank microbiome based on anecdotal evidence in the hobby that's going on or that people are talking about or that's popular or whatever. So that contingent that I'm talking about, people for whom like, you know, Salem's doing a better job of accessing that crowd than anybody I've yet seen, right? Anybody of qualification like he is. However, there are still, I would say that like, if you were to break down a pie chart of these categories, the biggest pie chart are reef keepers who are like, yes, I know the microbiome's important. Like this is the biggest piece of the pie. I know the microbiome's important. I want to do something for it, but there's no way that I'm going to like enter the scientific conversation about it because like I am not that person. Like I just can't. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. Like I've recently really begun like in earnest trying to be part of that not be part of the conversation, but just watch the conversation, right? And by the way, at first it was tough. Like I was like, I can tell, and I'm an academically minded guy. I really like to learn. But there are certain things that are like, it feels so far outside of my conceptual wheelhouse that I'm like, this is too much. Like, I can't access this conversation. And it's frustrating. Then I'm like, well, but what do I do? If I don't try harder to access the conversation, I don't really know what's going on. And I'm very against just trusting anything without really knowing what the heck is going on or like what the qualifications of the people who are driving these conversations are or anything like that. That's a recipe for disaster. And I think that right there, the awareness of like, you know, the awareness of I don't know the qualifications of these people and but I'm going to trust them. That moment that happens for people, unfortunately, a lot of people in that piece of the pie chart that care about the microbiome but can't or won't access the conversation at a deeper level, instead of having that moment of critical thought where they're like, you know what? I don't know what the guy hawking this solution that he's made up in his garage is. I don't know anything about him. He could be a retired scientist from, you know, some big name university who worked for 50 years developing, you know, whatever, microbial cures or something. Or he could just be some guy, right? Some guy, some coral frag farmer or something that decided to mix up some weird mixture and try to sell it to make a quick buck. They don't know, but they want so badly to like feel like they're doing something for the microbiome of their reef tank because they know it's inherently important that they're like, I'm going to ignore the fact that I don't know anything about this. And I'm just going to say, okay, there's a lot of hype around it. A lot of people seem to be doing it. So I'm going to do it. Let me put it this way. That thing right there that happens where people are like, I'm going to ignore critical thought and like, you know, what verifies this person as a source who could create something that I should use in my tank, or what process verifies what they're doing? I'm going to ignore all that, but I'm going to try to do something in earnest for my tank. So I'm going to buy this because people are saying it works, or there's lots of hype, or like cool hip hop music on the videos that the company or the individual is posting, and I'm just going to roll with this. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but I'm trying, right? Like, they feel good that they're trying. They're like, I'm trying to do something for the microbiome of my reef tank. And it is a flawed, flawed thing. That is skipping over that critical juncture point and where you need to verify what's going on because you can't or won't access the larger, deeper conversation. That is a critical misstep. And it's difficult to wade into the subject matter and start breaking down where to talk about this. So like, okay, I have a good starting point. How about Vibrant, right? That's something that like, even if you're not interested in this, it was so high profile that you for sure like caught wind of it, right? So like, you know, in broad strokes, what went on with Vibrant was that people were adding Vibrant to their reef tanks, and Vibrant, whatever company owns Vibrant, I'm sure it's some, you know, subsidiary of some massive company, they were like, we're going to claim that Vibrant is all natural, this all natural solution, but we're not going to say exactly what everything is in it or in the amounts that it's in because it's proprietary, right? And by the way, companies like to claim this stuff all the time. It's proprietary. It's a proprietary hidden thing. It's a miracle cure. We're not going to tell you what it really is because that we put the R&D into creating this, okay? That's what they want you to think. So with Vibrant, you know what Vibrant was? Vibrant was like, I forget the name of the product, but a large part of the Vibrant solution breakdown was like something to the equivalent of like algae fix, which is an algicide, right? So yeah, of course Vibrant was working when people were trying to utilize it for its intended purpose, which was to kill algae. Yeah, it was killing bubble algae. It was algicide, right? And by putting that into your reef tank, by the way, that's ignoring whatever the heck else they mixed into this, you know, solution. Who knows? But putting this into your reef tank, it's going to destroy not just bubble algae. It's like, you know, basically, and of course, you know, they want you to do little bits of it at a time so that you don't see some massive die-off of anything critical in your system and you think, yeah, it's okay, I'm going to keep using it. But like this slow drip, it's basically like a slow drip of death to this huge portion of the microbiome of your tank. That's what Vibrant was. So this got, I forget how, somebody else will know way more about this. This got found out at some point along the way. And Vibrant was, I believe, taken to court because they, at this point, like, you have algicide in here. It needs to be disclosed. Like, there are certain states, you know, probably California, that require, you know, certain kinds of, labeling and stuff for things like that. So Vibrant was gone for a while, and Vibrant's back now. Have you guys seen the bottle now that Vibrant's back? It literally has on the bottle, like, highlighted in, like, bold coloring and, like, bigger and bolder lettering than everything else on the you know, information strip on the bottle. Keep out of reach of children, you know, dangerous to kids or whatever. Yeah. They were just like, oh, yeah, this is an all-natural solution. It's a cure-all for the uglies. Get it in your tank. Everybody's doing it, right? And by the way, people bought this stuff by the boatload. I don't know what kind of person would do that. By the way, I did that. Literally. I bought Vibrant. I put Vibrant as soon as I got some kind of algal outbreak in my tanks. Oh, yeah. Let's just put in Vibrant. Let's put in an extra couple drops. Just take care of this quick. It was literally like on my shelf at all times. Oh, yeah. Just got to put some Vibrant in after the water change this week. Get that percolating. Guys, like, so, by the way, I'm going too far into Vibrant, further than I wanted to, away from the core of the conversation. But by the way, when I put Vibrant in the tank, the mental gymnastics I was doing to justify what I was doing, which, by the way, in my heart of hearts, and I don't think everybody, like, has a certain level of awareness when they put these kind of solutions in their tank, they just have trust in a company. I'm kind of a paranoid, untrusting guy to begin with. So I knew, like, this is ultimately a solution with a mystery element to it that some big company, which is already a thing I don't trust, is, like, claiming is going to be a cure-all for the uglies. But I'm so desperate to cure whatever algae is in here. When I'd put it in and my corals would look a little, like, I don't know how to describe it, but when you've looked at coral for a long time in your reef tank, you've had coral for a long time, you know when it looks a little weak, right? Like a little brittle, a little spindly maybe, a little paler than usual. Maybe the polyps are out. Maybe they're, you know, 75% extended to what they normally are. You know when the polyp is not 100% extended. When I would look at my reef tank, after applying Vibrant, you know, for a couple weeks, I could see the difference. I could see that, like, you know, the corals were going through something, not enough to kill them, but something. And for me, my mental gymnastics kick in because I can see the algae dying. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe the Vibrant's bothering the corals, but, like, it's killing the algae. And ultimately, the algae would overrun the tank and kill the corals anyway. So I'm saving the corals' lives. That's what my brain would do. Or I'd be like, that's probably just a little bit of shock, right? Like, that solution has to settle out in the tank. And as it, you know, spreads and settles out, you know, over the course of weeks, like, the corals will acclimate. Corals are tougher than people give them credit for, right? Like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, younger hobbyist me was telling myself. And then here it comes. Oh, yeah. It's algicide. So, I mean, I couldn't throw it away fast enough as soon as I learned that. And by the way, there's still people who don't understand. Like, they're like, what's the problem? I want to kill the algae. That's what I want to kill. And it's interesting, like, you know, I don't know, of that piece of the pie I was talking about earlier in the hobby, people who want to do something for the microbiome but not access the science that goes with it and critically think it through, there's got to be, like, a contingent of them that if you were to split that pie piece into smaller pieces, it's like there are some who, when you told them, hey, by the way, this mystery solution, it's algicide, and it's having all kinds of unintended, you know, hell that it's wreaking on your tank, they would be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to throw that away. Whoa, I can't, you know. And then there's a whole other contingent within that pie piece that goes, and? Like, I still see it doing something for my tank. It's still killing stuff that looks bad. I don't see a problem with it. My corals are still alive. So there's a whole piece of this, you know, puzzle here that, like, or a whole, you know, segment of the reefer population that is like, okay, no problem. Whatever. When's it going to be back on the market? I need some more. And that, to me, like, those people are kind of lost in this conversation. This isn't, really for them. If you're that person, you probably want to tune out of this episode, right? But if you're one of those people who would be like, whoa, you know, if I learned that I was just like, you know, potentially slaughtering all kinds of helpful stuff in my microbiome alongside stuff that, you know, I don't want in there, you know, I would probably throw it away, then you might want to, you know, hear the rest of this out, okay? I was watching, I forget what, it might have been, I don't know if it was Reef Builders, Fragbox, something, but Julian Sprung himself was asked by someone what's the most unifying thing in the reefing industry, like the private money side industry, or, you know, what's the one common thing among all reefers, or I forget how it was worded, but his response was really interesting. And his response, being who he is, that he's literally like, you know, done everything from study these creatures to that we love and keep in our tanks, to write books on them, to, you know, working at aquariums, to, you know, pioneering all kinds of stuff for home reef tank keeping, home reef keeping, everything that he's about, right? Products he's created that have worked. Like, when a guy like that, who's been around for as long as he's been around, looks that interviewer dead in the face and says this, the biggest single driver in the reef keeping hobby is killing algae. That was his response. The single biggest driver is reefers trying to kill algae. That is the unifying, most pervasive, driving force on the money side of this hobby. When somebody like him says that, to me, when I heard that, and it was pretty recent, like a few months ago, a couple months ago maybe, not even that long ago, when I heard that, I had a fundamental like paradigm shift, because I'm like, okay, you know, I have quite a bit of respect for Julian Sprung. I mean, this guy's been around a long time. He knows a lot more than me about reef keeping, and he knows all about the industry side of reef keeping, and he's literally sitting there like, yeah, it's not the coral, it's not the fish, it's not the lights, it's not the flow, it's none of this stuff. The one thing it could be that drives this whole machine is literally killing algae. That is mind-blowing to me. And by the way, when I really think about it, it has to be true, right? It has to be true. So like in my tank, the last algae outbreak I had, I made one of my, if not my most popular YouTube video shortly after it, in which I titled I titled it State of the Hobby, the Case for Not Turning Your Reef Tank into a Biological Wasteland. I think that's what, and I made that video in response to hearing Salem Clemens on Reef Therapy for the first time talk about the fact that most reef tanks are, for all intents and purposes, a legitimate biological wasteland, right? So like that, basically that video and like hearing that from Julian Sprung kind of marked a fundamental turning point for me in how I approach dealing with problems in my reef tank related to the uglies and or algae, which are usually algae, right? When I think about it, algae, yeah, like when there's algae in my reef tank, for sure, it's bothering me every day. It's taking up a huge portion of my thought processes regarding my reef tank. I become obsessed with it, right? And there have to be so many reef keepers who have less experience than me in fighting algae, I would imagine, who when they get algae, they don't even know where to begin, right? They don't even know where, they can't access the first fundamental things about killing algae, much less this like deeper level scientific conversation I'm talking about that like people like Salem have. So their solution is what? By the way, people are busy. People have lives. People have kids. You know, they have spouses who are annoyed by their reef tank and don't want them looming over it all day and researching it obsessively and not spending time with them or their family or, you know, being distracted at work or whatever. What do you think the average person's reaction is what product or bottle of whatever is going to get rid of this immediately, as fast as possible. Seriously. And by the way, for many beginners, I don't blame them. I don't blame them for that being their reaction. Like, there has to be, because think about it, in our modern life, it is so often the case that when you encounter a general problem in your world, it's literally like a two-day Amazon shipment away from being fixed, right? There are so, or download an app and it's fixed. Like, there's so many instant fixes. Like, reef keeping is a bizarre hobby because, as I spoke about in the last episode about planning, nothing good happens fast in reef keeping is one of the most true, like, you know, hobby, whatever you want to call it, you know, stereotypes, or it's so true. Like, almost nothing, I mean, I would just venture to say nothing good happens quickly in reef keeping. And that is in total contrast to, like, the world today, in America at least, where everything is like, you know, there's a solve, let me find it, let me get the app, let me, you know, whatever, let me get it delivered, let me, you know, run down the street and grab it, you know, just whatever. There's always a solve. And so you're like, there's got to be a solve. And then, like, Vibrant is like, yeah, right here. An all-natural solution, right? So that's the company side of it. Like, this is like big picture and like company stuff side of this whole conversation. Like, by the way, Vibrant's far from the only guys doing this. And by the way, there are companies doing this, selling bottles of, you know, algicide and snake oil, who are unabashedly ashamed about putting a keep out of reach of children sticker on it. They don't care. They know people will buy it. People will buy it, right? This is kind of a cynical look or cynical outlook. But I'm kind of a firm believer in the notion that, like, humans in general are extremely attracted to bull, you know what, I'll call it malarkey, all right? Humans, by and large, have an addiction to malarkey. And generally, that's because malarkey is promising them a quick fix or an insta-cure or whatever. I think about, like, when I see, and this happens all the time, you guys have seen this before. You're on Instagram, and here's some guy on Instagram, a reef keeper, right? Showing off his flashy tank, and then, like, he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm using all these different supplements, or this combination of, you know, this combination of solutions to, you know, keep my algae at bay, or I mixed up a couple of things together, or, you know, whatever. There's all these, like, hype dudes who exist in the reef keeping hobby. And these guys, literally, to me, I don't know, I was a history minor. I don't know how many of you guys are, like, deep into history. But these guys remind me of, like, in the 20s or whatever, when there were literally, like, quote-unquote quack doctors, like, but billing themselves as real doctors, standing on street corners with their little carts selling radium-infused water, right? Like, as a cure-all. Ugh, got back pain? Take a little radium, right? Got tooth pain? Take a little radium. Like, well, you know, the toothache's about to get worse because after you've taken radium for, you know, enough time and a high enough quantity, all your teeth are going to fall out because you're literally drinking radioactive solution, right? But, like, that's what those guys so often remind me of, right? And all those hype videos that people like that post that are, like, you know, some, like, techno rap music in the background with, like, fire symbols on it. Oh, yeah, this is so fire. Look what I'm mixing up. Oh, yeah, you know, hashtag micro reefing, right? Like, that stuff is literally like, try some radium water, the cure-all for back pain. Like, that's what that is, guys. The fact that we know that, like, radium water is something that will kill us now, we look back on those people and we're like, ah, oh, we're so much better than them, right? But, like, by the way, all of us, I would venture to say, unless you're of, like, uncommon human intellect, almost all of us in this hobby at one point or another have closed our eyes and poured a bottle of something in our tank, hoping for the cure. And it is the same thing. We're no different than those people then. They just had no perspective. That's the only difference, right? It's truly a human unique thing. I mean, it's like not a human unique thing, a human spanning, like this whole span of humanity falls subject to this, you know, illogical thing that we do, where we're just like, I mean, it's literally like we're just like a bug to a bug lantern on the porch that's about to get zapped. We're drawn to malarkey. We just are. It's one of the crucial flaws of our species, right? So, to get into, like, and by the way, I'm coming off of talking about, like, radium doctors, so I don't want this to, like, land really wrong, right? But, like, somebody recently who's been making the rounds, like, on all the big reefing podcasts and stuff like that, not all of them, but some of them, you know, or at least, you know, going on YouTube videos and stuff like that for big name people in the hobby is, and by the way, this conversation is like ongoing right now. I mean, it's like, you know, this is what, it's part of the reason I chose the topic this week is because there's a lot of focus being spent on this right now among certain contingents in reef keeping. But the guy from Critical Reef, Critical Reef Theory, CRT Reefing or whatever, who's doing this coral concoction, right? That's what he calls it, is a coral concoction, which to me, I don't know. That already, the word concoction alone, right? Like, you might as well have said witch's brew. Like, I don't, that word alone puts me off, right? But he was on, I think, Reef Therapy recently with Salem and Remy. And Salem, so basically, for backstory, before I get into this, like, I can't remember the guy's first name. His last name is Vo. But he's a reefer who was like, look, I have all this stuff laying around, right? And I should have written down the ingredients before I got into this. It doesn't really matter on the conceptual level that I'm talking about this at, but Vo was like, all right, I've got, like, food that's expiring and, like, Microbacter 7 that's expiring and, like, you know, whatever. This array of things that, like, I'm looking for a way to economically use these things so that I don't have, like, this, you know, lost cost sink of just throwing away, you know, things I've bought for reefing. And he had some knowledge of, like, how to, you know, mix some of this stuff together and, you know, just create potentially some kind of concoction that could potentially, unknown, you know, have great benefit to coral. Okay. So he mixes this stuff together and he starts dosing it to his tank and nothing bad has happened to his tank, right? Whether or not, I think it's very hard oftentimes to isolate. This is one of the brilliant things about, like, companies or people who sell mixtures of things. You can measure very easily when, like, bad things aren't happening. Cause, like, you're like, oh yeah, great. Bad things aren't happening. It must be working. This is a fallacy that happens, right? It's harder to measure, like, whether good things are coming from, like additional coral growth and stuff like that are happening because of what you're adding in a solution or because of some other factor. Like, maybe you're doing more water changes or something. So, like, I don't think the average reefer whose variables change week to week and what they're doing basically has, like, a good enough vantage point to conduct, like, an actual scientific process with, like, stable external variables and internal variables and, like, isolate whether or not doing one particular thing, adding one particular thing is actually helping the tank. I don't think most of us have the qualification to do it, the experience to do it, the stability in our setups and what we're doing. You know, like, to do a proper scientific data set on something like this requires all of these, like, stable factors and way less variable factors than any of us are prepared to have, right? Nevertheless, like, this Vo guy didn't see anything bad happen in his tank. So, like, he's like, all right, you know, maybe it's working, okay? And he's not, like, he's not, to my knowledge, sitting there claiming like this is it. This will triple your coral growth. Let me take a drink real quick. He's not saying this is a cure to brown jelly or this is going to triple your coral growth. He's not saying that at all. He's just like, this is beneficial, right? I apologize. Need a drink for sure. He's claiming it's beneficial. He's claiming it's, you know, whatever, prebiotic, antibiotic, whatever. It's doing some good. And there are so many reefers in that slice of pie that I was talking about earlier who want to do something for their reef tank on the microbiome level. People are just flocking to this, right? Absolutely flocking to it. I'm actually going to grab a cough drop while I talk to you guys. Yeah, people are essentially flocking to this coral concoction thing, and it's not just like regular people. You're going to hear a cough drop in my mouth. I apologize. It's not just regular people. It is not just regular reefers. As you've seen, he's been highly visible, right? Highly visible. So, I have significant doubts, essentially, about this whole thing. And my doubts are, like, I'm not an expert, right? So I can only go on, like, base logic. In my opinion, my base logic on this is, like, okay, I'm going to look to people who are much more prepared to critically view this whole concoction than I am. And, sorry, you guys can sense I'm struggling. I was real sick all weekend. It appears I should have waited another day to do this podcast, but here we are. I'm basically looking at guys like Salem in this instance and saying, okay, what do you think about this? And Salem's cross-examination of Vo and his process was very good, I thought, on reef therapy. Salem wasn't, like, you know, coming at the guy or anything. But it was a very, the questions that he asked were very telling. He asked, like, about safety, right? Like, I think Remy asked that. And as a family man, that makes sense to me that Remy asked that. Like, how safe is this? Excuse me, I'm so sorry. How safe is this? And Alan Vo's like, you know, Alan, that's his name. Alan Vo is like, well, I didn't really focus on that in my video, which, not great, right? And then he's like, but, you know, if you're not immunocompromised, it should be okay. And I'm like, what? And then he's like, you know, I think it's probably all right. I think it, and I'm just like, is it though? Like, one, he went to Princeton. It's not easy to get into Princeton. I think we can concede that, right? But also, like, what did you do at Princeton, man? Like, no offense, but, like, you know, did you pursue what Salem is pursuing in school? Like, what's that? What's the qualification beyond saying I went to Princeton, basically? Because at a university level, things are so specialized now. I'm really, like, unless you really, like, were in that field deep, I'm not liable to trust your expertise as just a hobbyist making a concoction that you think should go into my reef tank or that you want me to pursue, right? So that was interesting. And then Salem brought up, hey, dude, the type of bacteria or whatever, microbials, again, I'm going to show how little I know about this stuff, that you're putting in here, they are terrestrial strains, meaning they occur on land, not in marine environment, okay? They occur in our world, our human world, not the undersea world. And Salem was like, you know, why wouldn't you have added why wouldn't you have added this easy to culture marine bacterial strain to this mixture instead? And basically Vo's response was, which by the way, I respect, his like thought process here. He's like, look, the industry offers these like cost-effective things that we can all access. I'm trying to make something that is like the every reefer can access this, right? By the way, I like that's a that cause right there is good. That's a good cause. But Salem's point was basically, do you have any, like, you're not using marine bacteria. Is this safe? Maybe. We don't know. And also, like, what's your data? And Alan himself said, this is all anecdotal evidence. To me, Kalamazoo Reefer, me personally, it's just not enough. It's just not enough for me to risk my animals pursuing making this stuff, walking in, you know, the footsteps of Alan. Like, no way. No way should I do that. And by the way, I'm basing that on the fact that, like, an actual person with deep background and a graduate degree in this, in the form of Salem, is hesitant. By the way, guys, we are all normal humans who are not deep knowledge studies on any of this stuff. When someone who is a deep knowledge study in this stuff with advanced degrees and experiments and papers and all this stuff that they've done, you know, we should be listening to them. There's no way in heck we should be trusting ourselves to just make a judgment call at all. That's basically what I think my big takeaway for this whole thing would be, is that in no way, shape, or form should we be making judgment calls ourselves, nor should people who are unqualified and maybe haven't thought through everything from safety all the way down to, like, you know, I don't know, like, you know, maybe pursuing data, maybe comparing multiple aquabiomics tests or something like that over time and like publishing that. Those people really shouldn't be pushing this as solves on people either, not in good conscience, right? We have to get away from like the addiction to malarkey that we all have. And by the way, it's like, this is just about reef keeping. This addiction to malarkey is, to when humans want to believe something, the malarkey addiction rears its head so fast. Like, for instance, my dad's a big global warming isn't real guy. By the way, it's real. And if that makes you mad, you don't have to listen to the podcast, all right? But his evidence, like, I'm like, Dad, what's your evidence for global warming not being real? His evidence is like, well, look at this tweet that my congressman posted of snow in his backyard. And he says right there, oh, looks like global warming isn't happening today. And I'm like, are you for real? Like that? And my dad's just like, yeah, that proves it. If Earth were warming up so much, we wouldn't have cold weather anymore, right? I'm just like, dude, like, you can't even begin with some people on this. Some people are just going to do what they're going to do. But that right there, like, that belief system shapes all of his politics and has closed his mind so much. And that happens in reef keeping too, on like a, you know, less large scale societal level. This happens in reef keeping all the time, where people are just like lockstep behind a company, lockstep behind a solution, lockstep behind some kind of hyped up concoction. And, you know, potentially, maybe it works, but potentially, like what happened with Vibrant, maybe it's something that's really going to hurt your reef tank, right? So, like, my big thrust here is we have got to stop regarding, like, we have got to stop regarding, like, hype people or people with, like, awesome tanks who create something that has no data behind it as these, like, pioneers or brave soldiers in the fight for better reef keeping or whatever, okay? I really believe we have to stop doing it. The beginning of this episode, when I made my little April Fool's sponsorship joke, Telegram, as he aptly put it, in comedic form on his Instagram, posted a recipe for his own concoction as kind of a way to unhype the hype surrounding the coral concoction stuff, which was very funny. And it was interesting. I kind of got into a back and forth with some guy who jumped on there to defend CRT and Allen and all that. And what this guy said to me was so, like, interesting. Like, it gave me a window into a different kind of reefer, and it was also disappointing. So, like, this individual kind of, you know, came at me and was like, I came at him first, to be fair, and I basically just said, like, look, man, like, the guy had been bad-mouthing, like, so quote-unquote so-called educated people, like Salem. So I came in and I said, look, man, like, you got to understand, like, the people who have this deep level education and understand how data needs to be derived and understand the scientific process and understand all this stuff, those are the people we need to be looking to, not people who have created, like, baseless things and don't really have, like, anything other than anecdotal data behind it and, like, are quickly exposed by someone who is educated, you know, to basically not be thinking about things like, why am I not using actual marine bacteria, right? And this guy basically said to me, I want to see Salem's SPS tank full of Acropora, and then I will believe him. So think about this, okay? I haven't seen Alan Vo's tank. I know he's a reef keeper with multiple tanks. He said so himself. I haven't seen his SPS tank, but is the measure of someone's ability to create a solution that is targeting, like, the health of our corals, is it completely contingent upon how cool of a tank they have? Or is it better to have that be contingent upon the actual, like, education specialization that they have and the like, amount of, like, lab research and understanding of the scientific process that they have? It, like, the fact that this guy had correlated how cool of a tank Salem did or didn't have with how verifiable Salem's thoughts on the hobby were, that's insane to me. That's, like, that's fundamentally crazy. That is the suspension of critical thought. Like, oh, well, he doesn't have a big tank of cool Acropora. Maybe, by the way, Salem's a student. Maybe he can't afford a tank full of banging Acropora, all right? Does that mean that his knowledge is any less? He grows really rare high-end zoas. And that's, you know, what I expect. Like, with a student, right? Like, I'm, you know, I'm just stabbing in the dark here, but I'm guessing he doesn't have, like, you know, money coming out of his ears to buy all the coolest Acroporas in the hobby. And that, so essentially what that statement is like saying somebody owns a Ferrari and therefore they must know everything about how cars work. What, like, I don't know about you guys, but I've known a couple people who own Ferraris. And those are two of the people who, like, I would never let work on my car. You couldn't pay me to let these people work on my car. So, but in the reef keeping hobby, for some reason, that's, and I understand that there's, like, upkeep required, right? That's the difference in these, in this comparison. Like, with a Ferrari, and I guess it's kind of, I mean, like, you could pay for somebody to look after your reef tank too. Nobody would know if you didn't tell them. But, you know, you do have to, most reef keepers administer care and have to learn how to actually keep these things thriving. And I get that. But in no way is someone not having the coolest tank on the block, does that mean that, like, they don't know, they know less? In no way. So I kind of pointed that out. And the other thing this guy said that was really interesting was that he thinks that the real knowledge in the hobby is coming from the hobbyists, and that everything good created in the hobby is created by hobbyists, okay? So, I kind of want to dispel, well, not dispel, because there's truth in that, right? It's true that hobbyists come up with like awesome DIY solves every day. They come up with like, anecdotal methodologies for us to try, or they do little experiments that like could be passed along to more educated or more qualified people to do like lab-based experiments, right? By the way, like Salem is testing Alan's concoction, and maybe Alan's right. We're going to find out, right? We're actually going to find that out. So I'm not bagging on Alan per se. I'm bagging on people who like would just lockstep behind that and be like, oh yeah, this is my guy. This is my concoction. Hashtag microbiome for life. Like worship hands, fire symbols. Like that whole thing, that's weird, man. And it does not follow any kind of like logic pattern. It follows the humanity's malarkey addiction is what that follows. And it's kind of just like depressing and disappointing to me that people would just lockstep behind what's essentially a dataless concoction. And it's just, oh yeah, this totally data deficient thing. The videos, the hype videos are so cool. And Reef Dudes had him on. He must be good. Why? Critically think about this stuff, guys. Critically think about it. The reason why I think that hobbyists, like a guy like, Alan, like, I think that we shouldn't think that, like, hobbyists are the one that drive all the new creation and solutions and verifiable things, especially in the microbiome space, like, especially in the biological space in general, is that anything hobbyists are doing and adding to this conversation, their foundation was created by actual, like biologists and actual like people who study, microbiomes and actual, actual reef scientists, people who go out on the reef and actually gather data and do experiments and stuff like that. There's a whole, like our hobby couldn't exist without the foundation that the quote unquote so-called educated people that this guy was bashing, without their undying efforts over the decades to bring us this body of knowledge that we could, potentially start drawing our own like success and conclusions off of. Also, I'll throw this out there. For every one hobbyist that has a success with an idea or concept, there has to be 100 that have failed with the same thing. Come on. Like, maybe coral concoction works. Maybe Salem runs it through his machines in the lab and he's like, oh wow, this works. Think about all the other mixtures and concoctions and weird combos that people have tried and failed at and either like had no impact on their tank that was measurably positive or actually harmed the microbiome of their tank or their organisms. It has to be at least like a 1-to-100 ratio, like at least, right? And compare that, like, here's the other side of the coin where like, again, it's hard to even measure this because scientists are out in the field or in university labs doing this stuff. They're doing what scientists do, accumulating this knowledge behind the scenes, publishing papers on it, getting it peer reviewed, experimenting, like going to conferences, and then releasing all that into the like wider knowledge space so that like smarter people in the reef keeping hobby can cherry pick from it. Scientists are doing, what's unique about Salem is that he's actually doing this stuff in front of us and he's like sticking with us. He hasn't left us for like the distant scientific industry, right? Or whatever you want to call it. He's not out on some coral atoll. He's like here with us going on Reef Builders every week talking about this stuff and trying to show us, hey, there's a better way of doing this. This is how we do it. In the legitimate scientific community, we don't just create a concoction and then say, everybody test it, cross your fingers, I think it might work. That's not what science does. Science doesn't release that out into the public and start making hype videos about it and releasing polls about, I've used it or I haven't adopted it yet and like trying to razz up, going on all these, let's get my face on every show that I possibly can. Like, that's not, and again, like, okay, I understand I'm throwing a little bit of shade here, but like, guys, that is not what reef keepers who really deeply care about their tanks, that should not, who really care about the biology, by the way, that's not what we should accept as legitimate. We should see that for what it is. It's a little bit like a radium doctor, right? It's got that feel to it. And like, I'm not saying Alan's not a smart guy. He seems pretty smart. But the thing is there's a whole heck of a lot of homework that needs to happen here before we push forth and say, oh yeah, with data behind it, and with, by the way, a whole list of safety protocols so that you don't accidentally end up, you know, creating some weird thing or releasing a disease or whatever in your own house by mixing all this stuff together and generating bacteria and stuff. Like, yes, this is good. If you stick to this strict methodology, this will be okay, and it will actually have some measurable positive impact. None of that can be said yet. And we need to all stop looking for malarkey that might be the cure, right? Like, we just got to stop. It is so, like, and again, not every instance is going to result in, like, bad things happening. But you need to look no farther than Vibrant and the damage that people probably did to the microbiomes of their tank to know, like, if you can't know what the heck is in it or what the heck the impact is going to be, even if you know what's in it, what the impact is going to be of it, because there is no data. Period, end of story. There just wasn't a scientific process. There was no data behind this. Why are you adding it to your reef tank full of $50, $75, $100, $200 frags, fish that you've grown attached to that are your pets, all the work, all the maintenance, all the exhaustion of what it takes to stay in this hobby, all the ongoing, you know, expenses of a reef tank, not to mention the initial cost setup, all this, and you're going to pour some stuff in there that could potentially, like, harm everything? Like, I just don't, like, what, you try to make coral concoction at home on your own, and you're just some guy, okay? Let's say you're just like an office worker. Oh yeah, I can do this. He's doing it, so I can do it. And you do something wrong. One thing goes wrong. One bacteria or whatever proliferates that you didn't expect and starts attacking all your coral or weakening them, and you're panicking and you're seesawing back and forth with all these emergency methods to try to save your tank and doing water changes. And that's what I see when I think about using something like that now or creating it on my own. I'm like, I am not qualified to do that. Now, if all of it went through the, like, let's say coral concoction, let's say Salem is like, yeah, this is perfect. This works great. I can't believe it, but it is the silver bullet. This is it. Coral concoction. Let's say that coral concoction is that. At that point, I still wouldn't trust myself to make it. Some people would. By the way, guys, we are not scientists. We are not trained to do this. I don't care how good a step-by-step process there is behind some of this stuff that's released, the instructions of it. I don't care how good the instruction videos are that are put out. We don't know what the heck we're doing. Ultimately, we don't know all the potential eventualities if we make a mistake along the way or add a little too much of this, a little too little of that. We have no idea. So what I would do, literally in the case that coral concoction did prove to be, you know, this amazing thing for coral health, is I would wait. I'd be like, okay, you know, first of all, I would say I was wrong, I'd say I wasn't wrong about, you know, wanting the scientific process to take place, but, you know, sorry, Alan, for being a little bit harsh. And then I'd say, okay, like, I'm going to wait for Alan to produce this, like, and bottle it and actually sell it, you know, tested and, like, verified on his end. I'm not doing that myself. No way. No way. And I understand there's a contingent of reef keepers that are like, better to do it yourself and know exactly what's in it and how you did it than trust some company, right? And I get that, especially after, like, Vibrant. That's just a cherry on top of all the evidence proving that, you know, big companies can't be trusted with this kind of thing. But me personally, I was an English major, right? I teach writing classes. I don't have the gear. I don't have the setup. I got a little kid in the house. I got a wife with an autoimmune disease. I do not feel confident making this stuff on my own. But if somebody like Salem was like, yes, I ran this through the actual bona fide scientific process and it works, and you know, Alan's done his homework on how to produce this stuff en masse and going to start marketing it, and yes, I would use it as a individual, a man of science, I would use this on my tank. Okay. Then I would consider it, right? But as of right now, guys, there's just no way. There's absolutely no way. So the props that I give the guy is thinking outside the box in an economical way. Like, you know, he's thinking about a way that hobbyists who have a situation conducive to making this stuff could maybe do it and know what's really in it so that they don't have to trust some big corporation, the word of some big corporation. And he's like, you know, look, there's an economical benefit to it. One, it's all cheap to begin with, but two, you can, before things expire and you haven't used them yet, you can use them up and actually save yourself the money. I mean, like, and again, all that stuff. So like part of his mission statement is like music to my ears. I'm like, yeah, that's a decent cause. Like trying to, you know, find ways to save dollars for reefers and try to find a way to break out of the, you know, feeling like corporations are only solved for everything microbiome. And like, I'm on board with that stuff. But dude, before you start hawking this to the masses, I'm sorry. Like you have to do the full scientific process. Even if every bit of anecdotal evidence that you've ever received is spot on perfect, it could be that like whatever bacteria is building up, and again, I don't know anything about this, but like what if you're building up some kind of bacteria that is not like a bacteria corals are, you know, natively supposed to have on them. And over the course of like 2 years, this bacteria builds up until suddenly it starts to overwhelm the actual important colonies of bacteria that the coral is relying on. And suddenly your tank starts crashing out of nowhere 2 years into the game of dosing coral concoction. But up till that 2 year point, as these bacteria are being added and built in your system, all the anecdotal evidence was like, yes, this stuff's great. Nothing bad is happening, right? Again, that's where like lab, bona fide lab testing, the actual scientific process, going through it and verifying all this and possibly changing things out, like adding actual marine, you know, based bacteria like the roto or whatever that Salem was talking about. I would therefore, like, you know, adding at least a bacteria that we know occurs on the reef, like that makes way more sense to me. Way more sense. And honestly, like, you know, I despite the good luck and everything, it is a pretty ballsy move. I think Alan said that himself on Reef Builders. Like, you know, it's a ballsy move to just go out there and be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm going to show people how to do this. We should start doing this. And I have no long-term hard data. Like, I wouldn't make that move personally. He's got bigger cojones than I do, because no way, guys, no way. So I don't know. Those are my thoughts on the whole thing. I am so sorry about my throat, by the way. It was a mess all weekend, and I wanted to get this episode out because I really have this one window this week, and the rest of my week is like bonkers. And of course, halfway through it, it threw me off my game a little bit, but like, you know, my throat just started collapsing and water wasn't fixing it. I had to actually go and get a cough drop and start. And I've had a cough drop tucked in my lip this whole time. So I know like my voice is getting hoarser you probably hear like that there's something like clicking in my mouth, but yeah, it's what I had to do to finish this podcast. And I want to get the podcast out this week because guys, I'm no one to talk on this stuff. In one sense, because I don't know hardly anything about it, I'm just scratching the surface of microbiome stuff. just scratching the surface of it, okay? But in some sense, I felt like I had to stumble through this conversation and try to talk about it because, like, I am just a normal reef keeper who is, like, you know, largely in the dark about microbiome. However, I don't add anything to my tanks. Nothing. I don't add, like, after my Vibrant thing, I learned, like, I don't add anything to these tanks. Anything except for, like, pure elk, cow, mag, and some AFR for trace elements. Like, that's what I'm adding to these, to my system that you see in front of you. And I don't add anything, like, I just have, like, Kalkwasser on the other systems and AFR on the other. I don't add, like, anything else, any kind of serum, solution, concoction, mixture. I don't add anything to them. And that's for a reason. Because I'm not ever, I can tell you with certainty, going to add some, like, purported cure-all or purported, you know, anti-whatever or, you know, anything to my tanks, unless this stuff has been, like, fully verified through a proper channel that understands the scientific process. No way. And that's because I know my own limitations. I know I'm not smart in that way. I'm literally looking to experts. I'm not going to believe some guy. I'm looking to actual people who go through this process for the answer, which, like, I firmly believe, not just about reef keeping, but everyone should do. Like, we are normal people. If we did not, like, if we don't have years of experience or some advanced degree and all this time in the lab or whatever it takes to be qualified in something, who the heck are we to sit there and be like, oh, the quote-unquote so-called educated people don't add anything for me, so I'm going to go with the guy who has the coolest whatever. That guy obviously knows, you know, F those educated people. Like, for real? You're F the actual experts. Okay. Like, that, to me, the people who would just say that and just be comfortable with it, like, I don't know, guys, that's malarkey addiction on a whole other level. And, you know, I'm not, again, I don't expect to bring those people back, but I expect there are a lot of people like me who, like, did add Vibrant or would consider adding Vibrant until they learned the story of Vibrant. That kind of, like, sliver of the crowd, I'm kind of talking to you, like, guys, please stop. Like, just stop doing that and try, even though it's hard. Salem's good, guys. Like, trust me, try to access, like, some part of this microbiome conversation. I feel like the conversation is just too important, despite its complexity and how hard it is to talk about, and how hard it is to understand and grasp even, you know, basic concepts of it. Try. Like, if you really care about your tanks, try. Because even a little bit of knowledge on that puts you so far ahead of the crowd and so much further on the path to understanding this whole invisible part of what we do that is critically, critically important to what we do. I don't know. I just feel like it's something that really, really needs to be pushed. And I do think guys like Salem are, like, the ones who are going to basically bring this to the forefront of what this hobby's doing and start the process of, like, basically, you know, doing what happened back in the day when the radium sales guys, you know, were pushed off their corners. Like, there's got to be some truth and, like, accountability in the scientific process behind all this kind of stuff. And even Salem himself said it in a recent, I think, Reef Recap, where he was like, I'm going to do this experiment that, like, BRS did, but I'm going to do it with the actual scientific process. Like, we're going to do actual science with, like, lab-based results behind it, not the, like, quote-unquote reef science that BRS did. And by the way, like, that kind of shows how far we've come. We're now in a position where we have, you know, people who are interested in this movement happening and taking shape, where, like, real reef science can actually occur, not BRS reef science, which, by the way, I'm not discounting the importance of it. At least they started the conversation. Nothing existed prior to them, not with any kind of strong thrust behind it. So they at least got us thinking in terms of, hey, we could actually run some experiments and really try to do some stuff. But like now, all of that has evolved to the point that we're at now, where you basically got us, you have your pick. You can keep your head in the sand, or you can kind of try to open up to this conversation and learn something about it, or at the very least, wait until people who are qualified to okay these things get behind them before you start using them. If you're not going to access the conversation, at least wait for a verifiable expert to say, I would use this in my tank and feel fine. At that point, go ahead and throw the concoction in that they're talking about. But until then, I would never trust doing that on my own. I would never, ever trust just, getting something from somebody that was totally unverified and dumping it in. And by the way, I don't trust, especially after Vibrant, corporations selling bottles of stuff that are fix-it bottles, like snake oil. No way, guys. No way. So that's my message, right? And I expect some of you to be like, dude, I use this or that. And by the way, I want to hear it because I want the conversation to happen. You know me. I'm not just going to ignore your comment. I love having these conversations. But I fully expect some of you to be like, look, I use this or I use that, and then nothing bad has ever happened, and I really think there's something to this, or CKEM, put out this statement regarding the process behind this or whatever. I'm here to gain knowledge. I want all that to go on, but I wanted to, on a broad level, using some specific examples along the way of stuff that's hot in the hobby right now, that's going on right now, and is a little bit contentious and is a little bit me throwing a little bit of shade on, and I'm not trying to be a huge jerk about it, but I got to say what I think about it. And that's kind of what I think about it. So, I wanted to have the conversation, and I look forward to having additional productive conversation in the comments. I'm not going to fight, by the way. If anybody who's some big fan of a certain concoction wants to come out swinging on me, it's not a fight that I have the energy to have. And I got to be honest with you, unless you have some, I'll read it. Unless you have some truly compelling point and there's science or data driving that point, I'm not really, it's not adding anything productive to the hobby. So it's not worth it. But all right, guys, that's literally, my throat is it feels like it is constricting. It is collapsing on me. I will be back to full strength to talk at you for longer than I've talked today about a new subject next week or the following week. I'm going to keep trying to get these out. I hope all of you have a great week. And happy April Fool's Day. Have a good one.